your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
Yeehaw, boys and girls. Yeehaw. There's so much excitement in here today. I don't even know where the heck I should be standing. It is, there's wires everywhere. There are people everywhere. That's usually a good thing when it's a social outing on the wake-up call. Let me, let's see, push one button and see if we can adjust four people. All right, we're going to say hello, Michelle.
Good morning.
You're going to have to get so much closer than that thing.
Good morning.
Good morning. Amy?
Hello.
Mark?
Glad to be here.
Cardi?
Hey there.
It's so weird to hear all the difference. I see some people leaning forward and scrunching down and others trying to sort of sit as high as they can because we have four different microphones and four different wires and the non-expertise trying to run all the guy things from back here. It's just not happening. It is the Sunday morning wake-up call. We're going to be talking about the Shelter for Help in Emergency and the things that they do in this area and the needs for the shelter in our area. And we're going to be talking about the Design House, which is, I guess, the second year that this has been used as a fundraiser. Mark, is that true?
That's correct.
And sort of the excitement that goes along with that, and we've got a couple designers here that helped the Design House come to be, and exactly what it is going to look like, at least as best we can do when you don't get the pictures. Although we'll tell you where you can go and see some pictures online. So, and the Design House being the fundraiser for exactly what's going on. We'll let everyone get settled, and then we'll go through the introduction for a new guest who's propped in. Again, 11:01 on the wake-up call. Let me thank the folks over in the Valley and on Crozet listening to the new 101.1 and Dixon Disposal, who's letting us be on air today. Dixon reminds you that you can reduce household garbage by purchasing products with reuse and recycling in mind. Small changes in your lifestyle can keep our planet green for years to come. When Dixon's picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. More information found at 978-2111. Online, it's DixonDisposal.com. All right. I see someone new over there.
Hi.
Hi. Moyanne, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you for coming in today. Appreciate it. So our guest today, Cardi Lomanac. She's the Executive Director for the Shelter for Help in Emergency. We have Mark Humbertson. I know I'm going to mispronounce somebody's name. Mark Humbertson, who is on the Design House Committee and a volunteer at the shelter, correct?
That's right.
And then we have three of the participating designers for helping the Design House as a fundraiser project come to be. Amy Smith, Michelle Willis Adams, and Moyanne Harding. We'll be involving everybody in the conversation. We'll be telling you where to go find all the excitement, and we're going to be talking about the shelter and exactly what the shelter does and the unfortunate circumstances as to why it's even needed. And let's start with that. Cardi, Executive Director for the shelter, we've done a program or two on the shelter in the past, and I feel embarrassed to say that the shelter is even existing out of need.
It's true. We've been in this community for over 32 years providing comprehensive services to victims of domestic violence. And when we say comprehensive services, that means we're providing not just a 24-hour crisis hotline and a safe place for people to come to get out of the violence that's happening in their relationship or in their home, but a number of other services as well. We have someone who is doing legal advocacy and accompanying women to court if they're looking for civil or criminal remedies to help with what's going on. We have someone that's doing outreach specifically to the Spanish-speaking community, a bicultural, bilingual woman who provides those outreach services. We have someone who's working specifically with the children to help them understand what's happened in the home and to help them understand that what has happened is not their fault and try to teach them some different ways of living their life so they can grow up and break that cycle of violence. We have a number of programs that are happening, both educational and outreach, that provide support to the community and then to women in need in the community that don't actually have to come to the residential facility but need to have some support and guidance along the way. So there are a lot of programs that are happening through the shelter, not just the hotline and the residential facility piece.
Well, there's also a lot of people, I always have to remind myself sometimes that this program airs throughout Central Virginia. We go to Richmond, we go down to Lexington, we go over to Harrisonburg, up to Culpeper. Mm-hmm. And so we're sitting here, I'm talking about the shelter for help and emergency, and some people are listening and they're like, huh, they do all those things, but what are they there for? Mm-hmm. It's domestic violence.
Right. It's when someone has been hurt by their husband or partner or boyfriend or girlfriend, when love has turned into something that's harmful, something that may be physical abuse, may be sexual abuse, may be emotional abuse. It could be a number of pieces like that. It could include threats and intimidation. It can include financial interruption, so that somebody's not allowed to have a job or is forced to leave the job, or if they're working, actually brings the paycheck home and gives it to somebody else. There are lots of ways that domestic violence can happen, and it's not just broken bones and bruises. And many of our clients say that those are the things that heal. It's the emotional and psychological abuse that lasts forever that's harder to move forward from.
You mentioned, being abused by the boyfriend, the partner, the spouse. You said by the girlfriend. I mean, that seems to be, and it's in here on my list of questions where I've done my homework, myths about domestic violence. And I think for many people, does that really happen? Do you really have males who come for the shelter? Because the shelter is the shelter for help and emergency. And so it spells she. And that's often the capitalized part of it,
right,
when in a newspaper or in some sort of promotional sheet,
right,
as in the Design House, which we'll get to shortly. So do you actually have males who need your assistance?
Certainly. We have men and women in traditional and non-traditional relationships that reach out for services. We provide similar services to men who are asking for assistance. We don't house them at our emergency residential facility, but find other safe housing for them in case of their emergency. We make sure that we're providing the same legal services and counseling services and support services that we would for women. The issues are very similar. I think there's with domestic violence in general, there's a stigma attached to it. There's shame. People don't want to come forward. And I think it's even more difficult for men when they're in a situation where domestic violence is happening.
That's Cardi Lomanac. She's the executive director for the Shelter for Help in Emergency here in the Charlottesville. I guess Central Virginia, the Thomas Jefferson region.
We serve all of Planning District 10, which includes the city of Charlottesville and the five surrounding counties of Albemarle, Fluvanna, Greene, Louisa, and Nelson. And you said something earlier about this is going out into other places. There are probably 55, 56 domestic violence programs across the state of Virginia. So in other areas where WNRN is reaching, there are domestic violence programs there. And there's a statewide hotline for people as well.
Do you know what the number is?
1-888-836-8836, I think.
But it typically those numbers can be found on the first page or two, or
absolutely,
back page or two of your phone book.
It's the Virginia Family Violence Hotline.
And I'm certainly sure that you can Google that or find it very quickly on the computer. So that's Cardi talking about the Shelter for Help in Emergency. We also have, as guest today, Mark Humbertson, who is a volunteer at the shelter. on the Design House Committee, who helped put together this fundraiser. And we have three of the participating designers, Moyanne Harding, Amy Smith, Michelle Willis Adams, because that's also a big part of today's conversation, is talking about the needs of the shelter in terms of fundraising. And this is the fundraising. I guess is it the only fundraising for the year, Mark?
No, definitely not, but we're trying to make it the primary, well, this is the second year of this particular event, but we're trying to make it the primary fundraising avenue, and not to put Cardi on the spot, but she can talk about all the other avenues for that fundraising.
Well, we'll come back to that in a minute, because the current and the next fundraising activity for the shelter is the Design House. And every time I say that, and certainly every time I heard that, my immediate question was, what the hell is that? And so I want to know, I have an image in my head. Well, okay, it's a design, and I already have my, it's some sort of, it's a house, and there's people designing it. But who wants to jump in and talk about, it's a second year. So, Mark, I'm going to go back to you first. I guess it was successful enough last year to follow up again this year, but tell me what it is and how the project came to be.
Well, one easy way to summarize it is it's basically a home makeover. And
oh, I love that show.
Yeah, exactly. That's what my wife said. It's really a home makeover where you have an intervention on an existing property, and the designers come in and take over. And from minor interventions to some quite major interventions. So it's a makeover from the pop culture TV is the analogy that I think makes the most sense.
So I'm still swirling around in my head. There are three designers here in the room. I did the went to the website, and you can go to the Shelter for Help in Emergency, and there's a link or a page for the Design House, and there's 17 different designers. Is that correct? And we have three in the studio. Michelle, I'll start with you, since I have the clearest look at you. How were you? What makes you participate? I'm assuming it's all volunteer.
It is all volunteer, and I think there are several reasons for participating. The first and most important, I think, is the worthwhile cause, that it's an opportunity to give something back to the community and do something that benefits others. The second was, and I was not involved last year, it's a creative enterprise, and I think all of us as designers have been grateful for the opportunity to meet with one another. It develops a sense of community among the designers, which we wouldn't have otherwise. And it gives us an opportunity to share our work and do something that's, you know, our baby from start to finish. The volunteer board really asked us to list a space that we would like to decorate and do what we would with it. So we were given pretty free rein. And when people go through the house, I think they'll see a lot of very beautiful rooms that have individual identities, and they'll be able to take away a lot of ideas from that.
Amy, why did you participate? I mean, it seems easy. Oh, let me volunteer for a good cause. I only have three women in the room as designers, and so there may be some personal attachment to why you would like to help the shelter, whether it's personal, family, or just the good cause as being a female.
Yeah, actually something that occurred to me while working on the Design House is how fortunate I am in my situation that I have the support of my family. Actually, my husband has been out at the Design House working very hard for me. I see lots of families out there working, and it's really important that I show how thankful I am for what I have and help those who don't have that.
And Moyanne?
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. The Design House is just such a wonderful idea to bring together and show people in the community how wonderful a home can be. I know it's aesthetics, but at the same time, it provides warmth and comfort to people to have a safe home that is also a beautiful home inside and out. You know, I mean, the people inside need to be beautiful too and good to one another. And
The design house, for me, I did it last year. This is my second year. It is such a wonderful cause. Everything about it is good. I mean, there's nothing bad about it. It's all a good. It's good for the community. It's good for the designers. It's good for everybody. And it's wonderful. And we need to do more things like this in our world to keep life moving in the right direction. But, you know, Amy was right. My 14-year-old daughter came. My husband was there. We all helped. I think my daughter helped Amy Hall step up
the
stairs.
She so did.
Because she had the tweenster room, and she loved to see the tweenster colors. Mom, I want my room this color. You know, of course, I have the master suite, so it's a little more subdued and sophisticated. But, you know, it's fun. It's a great cause, and a sense of community.
We've met some great people, too. It's been really good to work with local vendors, getting out there, making face-to-face contact with people. It's been a win-win all around.
And it's a beautiful old home set in a beautiful estate in Crozet. The surrounds are beautiful. So, I mean, people are going to love to come and see this gorgeous home that we have all put our touch on, and it's magnificent.
Well, let's take a moment, because I skipped a very important part, which is, where is it? And how does it support the shelter?
Certainly. The house is located at 1687 Mint Springs Road in Crozet, Virginia. And at our website for the design house, SeavilleDesignHouse.com, you can find the directions to the house and pictures of the house. And with regard to your question about how does it help the shelter, I think it helps in so many ways. It helps us raise friends. These folks are friends of ours, friends of the shelter. They're giving of their time, their energy. It's just a remarkable outpouring of support from a community that we wouldn't necessarily reach in the work that we do on a day-to-day basis. And so that's made a tremendous difference. I think the people that come through the house, we had a number of folks that came through for the first year and asked if they could be part of the design house next year. They wanted to volunteer. They wanted to come back. And we've had some people that knew about Design House after the fact and said they wanted to be involved this year because they missed out. Some folks come because it is something that touches them on a personal level, whether it's having had a personal experience as a victim of domestic violence or survivor, whether it's family or friends. So I feel like this raises friends and raises funds for the shelter, and both of those are very important.
It just seems, I don't know, odd is not the proper word to use. Maybe it's just correct or proper to take an organization like the shelter for people who are looking for a safe home and then show a home and use that as the fundraising. But, and by the way, for those who, we're talking about Mint Springs Road in Crozet, you can go to follow the signs to Mint Springs, follow the signs to Child's Peach Ordered, correct? And that will, if you're not sure exactly where to go, but you know where to go to those things because you've been there in the past or are more familiar with that, that is Mint Springs Road. Using a home to raise money for an organization that helps people in need of a home seems
practically perfect.
The motto for the actual for the event is because peace on earth begins at home.
I think what the designers are doing is transforming this home. You know, they walk in and it's a shell of a house, a beautiful shell, beautiful bones, as we say, and then they come in and truly transform it into something that feels warm and lively and safe and beautiful. And I think that's very much like what we try to do at the shelter with helping women and children rebuild their lives. And it's a transformation project. And that's what it is for Design House. And I think that's a lot of what we do at the Shelter for Help and Emergency with the people that we have the honor of serving.
All right, 11:19 here on the Wake Up Call. We are talking with designers and representatives from Shelter for Help and Emergency, and designers for their fundraiser, the Design House, which will be starting up just this week, correct?
May 6th is the Top Hat Gala, the opening event, and then it opens to the public on Saturday, May 7th.
All right, so we will be back talking more about what the shelter does, why it's needed. I want to learn more about the designers and what they have done and how you share the space. I find that to be odd. I don't share well, and so maybe that's why I'm having that problem. It is 11:19 on the wake-up call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. It's a partly sunny morning, mostly cloudy a little later today. 40% chance of showers, only 20% in Lynchburg and Richmond, highs 70 to 75. Mostly cloudy tonight, and another chance of showers, lows in the mid-50s. And then tomorrow it'll be cloudy, 30% chance of showers, highs in the mid-70s. Even warmer in Richmond in the 80s. Right now, cloudy out there, but still kind of nice. 57 in the valley, 58 in Lynchburg, 64 in Richmond, 63 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And let me thank Ben Around Tattoos for their support. You can find them in downtown Waynesboro and here in Charlottesville, featuring male and female tattoo artists. Ben Around Tattoos has thousands of designs available, and they can create work from a design that you provide. Ben Around Tattoos in downtown Waynesboro and Charlottesville at 701 West Main Street. For more information, it's online, benaroundtattoos.com. All right, we are talking about the Shelter for Help in Emergency. Cardi Lomanac is the executive director for the shelter. We have designers, Moyanne Harding, Michelle Willis Adams, Amy Smith, and Mark Humbertson, who somehow brought all these women together in a nice working faction. Because we always need a guy to get the women all on the same page, right?
No comment, Rick.
And that shows that you are a sensible man. All right. The shelter, Cardi, I mentioned before in the earlier section about the myths of domestic violence. When I asked about do you actually have men who need your assistance, but there are other myths that go along with this, correct?
There are. I think one of the ones that you and I talked about this morning was the myth that it happens somewhere else to someone else. It couldn't possibly happen to someone who looks like me, lives in my neighborhood, goes to my faith community, not the teacher at my child's school. You know, it couldn't possibly be anyone I know. And one of the things that is actually factual about domestic violence is that it doesn't know any boundaries. It cuts across all socioeconomic groups, all classes, cultures, races, religions, educational levels. It truly doesn't know any prejudice. So it can happen to any one of us. One of the statistics is that one in four women will experience abuse by a partner within their lifetime.
One in four?
One in four.
I mean, I guess that's one of the things that makes me raise my eyebrows, because I think of the number of people that I work with.
Right.
Men and women. And
right. It's always an interesting visual when we're doing a speaking engagement or a training. We have people count off one to four and have one of those numbers stand up so that the room can see how many people in a group that size could be affected by domestic violence. It really is quite shocking.
And what you're saying is that it could be that it is one in four in that room, not one in four of the lower or potentially lower socioeconomic status
right.
that are serving the room
right.
or the ones that you see working at the fast food restaurants
right.
or et cetera.
No. In fact, we had a woman that was coming to us this has been a while ago, who drove a brand new Mercedes, but she didn't have enough allowance to be able to buy gas to be able to come out and see us.
What do you mean allowance?
She didn't get enough money.
The finances were controlled
they were
by her
controlled
partner?
Controlled by the partner. And so we had to give her gas money for her to come to the counseling sessions. Seems odd, and yet that's how that dynamic worked in that family, one of the ways that dynamic worked in the family.
What do you do? I mean, we're talking about one in four, and this is Cardi Lomanac. She's the executive director for the Charlottesville Shelter for Help and Emergency. She's on with us today, as well are other guests. We'll be going back to talking about the design house and the fundraising aspect of that, that the shelter needs, unfortunately, for the number of people that they help and the fact that not all the finances can be given directly from private donations or government donations. There are other services that you provide. One of my, I guess, favorites, again, I always worry about my word choice when I'm talking about such a serious topic, was the Pet Safe Foster Care. People are familiar with the fact that I talk about Lazarus all the time with my dog, and I'm thinking, gosh, that seems so obvious now that I've read about it, that someone might have dire concerns about getting that final step to leave, but they can't take the animal with them.
Right. And we wanted to make sure that that wasn't a concern that someone was facing that kept them in the violent home. We wanted to make sure that we provided enough opportunities for someone to get out safely for themselves and their children and their pets so that they felt like they could come to the shelter for services. So we have a wonderful network of volunteers throughout the community that are willing to be foster parents for us. So during the period of time that somebody is staying in our residential facility, a volunteer will take on the responsibilities of the family pets. We've had iguanas and cats and dogs. We even have someone that's willing to take horses if we need to have, and that's a different kind of pet, but it's still something that it's an animal that someone would be concerned about if they had to
leave.
Right,
if the partner is abusive to you, certainly the concern is that if you have to leave the animal or the pet behind, that they would just turn that abuse onto something of yours.
Right. And it sends a message. I can do this, whatever this might be, to hurt the animal. I can also do it to you. And if there's a close relationship between the victim, survivor, and that animal, if they hurt the animal, then they know that if the partner hurts the animal, they know they're hurting the victim.
Back to the designers for a few minutes as we talk about the design house as a fundraiser for the shelter, which all of us need to support in some way, whether you volunteer your time, whether you donate your money, whether you take your, is it $10, Mark?
$15. Oh, you mean for the admission?
For the admission.
Sorry, it's $20.
$20. Whether you take your $20 and go do something fun for the day by checking out the design house, and that money ends up supporting the shelter. Amy, you're one of the 17 designers. And let me ask, I don't know if you don't know the answer to this, anybody, I sort of made a crack about who gets the closets, et cetera. Are there outside designers as well as interior designers?
Yes, actually, they're fixing up the outside as well.
So what was you, they, somebody said you had the tweener room?
Yeah. Well, we all kind of did a tour of the house to begin with, all the interested designers. And we made a list of the rooms we'd be interested in designing. I actually ended up getting a different room than all four that I'd listed, but it worked out very well.
obviously, somebody said she can handle the challenge.
That's right. That's right. Well, it was kind of strange to pick a room because usually when I'm working with a client, they tell me. So I figured I could do whatever was thrown at me. And I was given a bedroom, and I thought I would do something kind of lighthearted and fun. So I chose a tween room, which is based largely on my daughter, who is reaching that stage, much to my chagrin.
So tell me a little bit about the house, and I don't know who wants to jump in and answer this, but we're talking about a tweener room. So the house is large enough that it designed for those, because it's on the market, it's for sale. I don't know if once you buy it you have to keep it designed as it is, but that's part of the goal, is not just to raise money for the shelter, but I guess part of the idea is to interest someone enough to purchase the home. So, and if there are 17 designers, it must have enough rooms, including one for a tweener. number of bedrooms?
I think we're saying 4.5, 5.
Yeah, five bedrooms.
Yeah, some of which aren't being designed as bedrooms. Some are being designed as a studio or right. something similar. But we get, you know, Michelle touched on this. We just had a house tour with rooms, and we asked the designers that they could assign whatever they wanted to the room. So Andre Gibson's designing a nursery. Amy's got the tweener room. Moyen had a master bedroom bathroom. And Moyen was nice enough to take on the bathroom. We weren't even going to assign that because bathrooms are a little tough.
But it was connected. But it was right there.
And Michelle, what was your room?
And I'm the library, and I was lucky enough to get my first choice room, although I think I listed 7 that I'd be excited to do.
That just the vision's in my head. I have to spend my $20 now to go out and check out this house.
That's good.
And let's take a moment for this, because the designers are not only wonderful enough to participate in raising money for the shelter, also kind enough to come in and spend your Sunday hour here, our brunch with no food. Amy, we're talking to you. What is your business?
My business is Embellish Interiors. I keep a blog of all my decorating events, and I've been keeping a track of this design house. My website is embellishinteriors.blogspot.com, and it's been a great experience, and so wonderful to have carte blanche in a room and to meet terrific people.
How do you, what's your money budget, and who comes up with that?
No budget. We get everything is donated, you know, I have a lot of custom items, so I've had a lot of great people come and make things for me. The community has been terrific with their support of the fundraising and of me. I feel very blessed to be a part of it.
Yeah, and I know that there's a very large, you know, ad. About the shelter and the design house in this week's Hook, who also supports this program, that has and the website page has the icons, showing who has which community organizations and businesses are supporting of this. Michelle, the name of your business?
My name is the name of my business. It's Michelle Willis Adams, and I do residential and contract design. And I'm much more low tech than Amy. I really work on a referral basis, and it's amazing how that works, but builders and carpet stores and former clients are kind enough to pass my name on, and that seems to keep me good and busy. But one thing, Rick, that I'd like to add about this house is that it's not just the designers. There are teams going into each of these rooms. So, for instance, for my little room, which is the library, I had 11 different really talented individuals donate their time, you know, from the painter to the decorative painter, to the seamstress, to the upholsterer. People gave hours and hours to make this house special and interesting, and all of those people are going to be recognized in the program that's available at the house when you go through, and they'll all be recognized on signs outside of our rooms. So I hope when people go through, they will notice how generous so many members of the community have been and how talented so many members of the community are when they see their work.
Moyen, your business?
My business is Interiors by Moyen, and I've been in business now for going on 20 years, and I do mostly residential, some commercial. And, you know, my room is just, I was fortunate enough to, I have a shop actually in Lynchburg, Virginia, but I do a lot of my business up here in Charlottesville. I used to have a store up here, and now just relocated just to one. But my room, I was fortunate enough to have pieces from my store that I was able to bring and put in the room. I had custom things made for the room, and I have a good team of subcontractors that I use that were able to help me paint out the room and wallpaper and do all the rest. So it was a nice effort with all my team that I've already got to come up and do this. And, you know, it's exciting.
Moyen's husband is on that team, too.
Yeah.
All of our husbands were on
that team. He's an associate. And my daughter, I brought her up, too, like I told you.
So how do you get, again, the 17 designers listed on that page, and I don't know that they all had their own room or their own space, et cetera, but how do you take a large number of designers attempting to do a specific room and make that into a home.
Well, well, the other, again, with the carte blanche, you know, as Amy said, we gave the designers free rein to design whatever they wanted for that particular room, so they could have their own identity. There isn't other than making it a peaceful place, there was no design guideline for how you should design your room. So some people might find that being a little not cohesive, but we think it's fun and an exciting way to go into this large 1910s or 20s Virginia farmhouse on this large estate property in Crozet and see some exciting contemporary or traditional design work right next to each other.
Again,
and it works.
We are talking about the Design House fundraiser, which is for the Shelter for Help in Emergency. We have three participating designers here talking about how all that works and what makes it work. Michelle Willis Adams, Amy Smith, Moyanne Harding are in the room. Mark Humbertson was just talking, a volunteer at the shelter and on the Design House committee. I see the phone's ringing if you want to get it, Kristen, and we'll see what somebody has to say or ask. Cardi Lomanek also here with us today. While we wait for that to come through, let me go ahead and read about our support from The Backyard. They are the university's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a new spring menu. They have daily specials and an ever-changing list of beers on tap. Their outdoor patio is open for lunch and dinner. For more info, it's 434-202-8215, thebackyarduva.com. You can also find The Backyard on Facebook. Back to our topic about the Shelter for Help in Emergency and the Design House fundraiser. We talked about where the Design House is, Mint Springs Road out in Crozet. Again, for those of you who need a little larger direction finder, Mint Springs Park, Child's Peach Orchard. If you can get your way into Crozet, I would think that there's plenty of signage as to what to do, where to be. Can you give me a little information on we talked about it being $20. Can you give me a little information on parking? Is the home handicap accessible for those who might need that?
There is parking on site at the Design House, and it's approximately a mile and a quarter from the main intersection in downtown Crozet, a mile and a quarter west of town. In terms of being handicapped accessible, that's the one thing we weren't able to accomplish this year. It's a beautiful old home, but it is a beautiful old home, which isn't accessible for those who have difficulty with mobility.
Our call, it is 11:37 here on the wake-up call, asked us to talk about the shelter in terms of some of the legislation for 2011. I see, Cardi, you're jumping at the opportunity to talk about this. I did a little homework on it, so if you need me to poke you to push you in one way or another, I can do that. But
sure.
What can you tell the caller?
Sure. I think one of the most important things that happened in the last General Assembly session was the expansion of the protective order. A protective order is a civil remedy for someone who's facing abuse. It's basically an order and can be written by a judge in lots of different ways, but it prohibits most often violent contact, sometimes any contact at all. It can provide some other pieces. It can provide some housing assistance. It can provide some financial assistance. But a protective order generally is an order that gives a woman a little bit of safety from the abuse that's happening. And what happened this year was there was an expansion to the protective order, which includes victims of dating violence. So it includes those people who aren't married or haven't lived together for 12 months, or who don't have a child in common. So this expands it to someone who might be a later teen, someone who might be in college, somebody who might be a young adult who doesn't fit into any of those other categories. It has provided access to services that weren't originally available to these particular individuals. It also incorporates stalking and sexual assault into the protective order.
So I guess, again, being stupid about the concept as a whole, so if you didn't meet those three agendas, you weren't married, or you didn't have a child with someone, or you hadn't been living with them for more than a year,
right?
I couldn't have been granted.
Access. Right. It was not something that was available to you. The Family Abuse Protective Order would not have been available to you.
And what was the original thought process, if you know it or can at least begin to explain it? What was the original thought process into requiring that those three things be in place, rather than assuming that someone who didn't meet those requirements couldn't also be harmed?
Right. I'm not known for being short-winded, but I'm going to try. When protective orders went into place over 10 years ago, they were looking just at family abuse protective orders. And over the 10 years, there have been some changes, some tweaks that have been made to it, but there hadn't been a comprehensive study of how effective protective orders were. So originally, just getting this for those three categories of people was really important. During this past year, we had a study, a protective order study. There was a committee, a panel that looked at that and made some recommendations. And one of the recommendations that was made was to expand the protective orders. And I think that comes from just what you're saying. How does it make sense that only these three categories, people have to meet these three pieces in order to be eligible for the protective order? So that change has been a significant and positive one for us.
But it takes a study, and it takes, I mean, certainly a double-digit number of years for someone to realize that this needed to happen?
No, I think what wound up happening is that we knew that some changes needed to be made. But those of us on the ground knowing that, and those who are in the legislature knowing that, there's sometimes a divide in that, between those two perspectives. So what we were able to accomplish year before last was getting a year-long study, and that was really helpful because that gave us time to help the legislators see what the problems were with the protective orders as they had been in place and with the tweaks that had just happened haphazardly across those 10 years.
All right, it's Cardi Lomanac from the Shelter for Help and Emergency in the Charlottesville area, 11:42 on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
All right, with outdoor music festivals from Crozet to Roanoke to Richmond and local bands joining in the fun, make your plans now for the summer music scene. And The Hook provides the lineups. Should the Belmont Bridge's east sidewalk be fenced, meaning a sprint across Avon Street, or fixed at the cost of somewhere between a couple $1,000s and a couple $100,000s? And what drove two UVA basketball players to transfer from the team? The sports doctor gives her theory. The Hook. Every Thursday, an all-natural performance. And let's thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for supporting WNRN. And you have the courage to be kind, have fun, and do the right thing. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville and three locations in Richmond. For more information, it's brms.com. All right, back with our guests today. We have Amy Smith, Moyanne Harding, Michelle Willis-Adams, all participating designers in the Design House fundraiser, which begins on May 6th. Did I get that correct? $20. You can go into the home in Crozet that and take a tour for a home that has been fixed up by 17 different designers. Yes, Cardi?
It actually opens to the public on May 7th for the $20 per admission ticket.
Can you still buy a ticket to the Top Hat event?
You can still buy a ticket to the Top Hat event, and you can do that online at the Seville DesignHouse.com. Until tomorrow, though.
All right. We also have, as you heard, Cardi Lomanac, executive director for the shelter, Mark Humbertson, who is a volunteer at the shelter and a major player in getting the Design House group to come apart. See, I said that just as it is. That's what every woman in the room is thinking. He didn't do squat. He just made everything take so long for us to sit around. If he'd only brought the food and drinks sooner, we might have gotten something to work. And we did have a question come in by phone. What is the Design House philosophy, and what can we expect about the rooms in the house? So much better than any of my questions. We'll start with part one. What is the Design House philosophy, other than just raising money? You copied this. I don't mean that in a bad way, but that was originally done in a major city, correct? Didn't I read about New York City or Chicago or someplace where...
They're all over the United States. Richmond has one, Georgetown and D.C. has one, and those are some of the events we went and looked at to become a model for what we did. And they were all very helpful in letting us know how the pitfalls and what the successes were and helping us make arrangements for that. So, you know, the Richmond Design House was instrumental and was amazing in helping us set up on that.
What's a pitfall that you had to watch out for?
Pitfall is picking the right house. Well, first, and everyone talks about the amount of collaboration with the vendors and the designers, but we have to get a homeowner to give up their house for 2 or 2.5 months for this event, because a lot of the stuff you don't see is all the front end work. And we took possession of the house in March, is that right, Cardi? I think March 1st or 15th we took over the house and started preparing it on our end just for the designers to be able to take it over, I think, in April. So we obviously end up with a very generous homeowner who will give their property to us and allow this to happen. And then I think we're turning it back over to them a few weeks after the event so we can clean it back, take it back to where we took it from them. So
they're not going to keep it like
well,
that?
Well, they can keep it.
They have their own furniture in storage somewhere?
Everyone's got a different
arrangement. They don't have Amy's personally made stuff?
Everything's for sale, right?
Things that came out of Moyan's store? They don't have Michelle?
There are price lists in all the rooms if you want to buy something.
Really?
Absolutely.
So if I go in there and I see a piece of furniture that I like?
You might not, if someone else doesn't get it first, Rick, so get there early. So,
is it like a silent auction where I can put my name and dollar bid down?
Exactly.
All right, well, let's move on to part two of that question, which is what can we expect about the rooms in the house? We talked a little bit about what each room was. I don't know that I let anyone get into great detail about what you did in the room to make it come together as yours and your style. Michelle, let's start with you. Michelle Willis Adams, and that is the name of your business. People go online, correct?
That's right. This has been an interesting project because generally when any of us go into design, we're designing for a family or an individual and helping them develop their style. We want rooms to connect and flow. And this was unique in that we were given the choice of a room and really, as they said earlier, allowed to create something of our own independent from anyone else's ideas or style. And so I have the library, for instance, and my goal was to show how you can mix antiques with contemporary pieces, how you can mix pattern and color and texture in a relatively small space. So I have 9 fabrics, 8 trims, and a variety of furnishings and accessories in this space. And because I think I'm so accustomed to wanting a house to flow, I have to confess that I did call the designers who were doing the hallways and some of the surrounding spaces to find out what colors they were using and to make sure that my space and their spaces would complement.
Where'd you get the books?
The books for the library?
Yeah.
My husband doesn't have a single leather book left on his shelves.
Do you have one of those? My favorite part of any library is always one of the rolling ladders. Do you have one of those?
I have a very pretty little step ladder that is a library staircase, but it's a pretty small room. It's a 15 by 15 room, so I don't have one of those beautiful tall ladders.
Because I was thinking, as Mark said, I got my checkbook. I was thinking about
right.
it.
Get on that, Michelle. You got a few days.
If you want a tall ladder, we can find you a tall ladder.
Moyanne, and we talked a little bit about you had the major bedroom.
The master suite. And, it was just so fun to be able to go into this old house and really do something you wanted to do, which, like Michelle said, usually were, under clients' criteria. So, it's really a creative show house of each designer, which is really true. I mean, we are putting in that room what we think will be kind of fun and different. And, in my particular room, I kind of showed items that are antiques as well, but just kind of the newest, exciting things that are kind of out there in the market, some new lamps, some creative ideas, using what was there. We had to be pretty creative to turn it into something fabulous because, within a budget, you don't want to totally, tear everything out and redo everything. So you kind of have to make the best of what is there, too. And that's kind of how I approached my room.
We have different designers for inside the home. And Amy, I haven't forgotten about you, and I'll come back and let you talk about your room. But we talked about that it's an older farmhouse. And did anyone do sort of a modern room with, more of the sleek Scandinavian-style furniture or anything like that?
Not so much, although that's a good segue to me because I do think I have a little bit of a departure from the rest of the house in that I did do kind of a more funky room. I think there are a lot of traditional spaces, but everybody has something different. I think there's something that would appeal to everyone. And also in my particular space, I have a lot of things that are done, like I decoupaged a desk. I had a group of friends come and help me cut circles to make trim for window treatments. A lot of things that people can do on their own. Some great ideas.
All right, caller. Hopefully we got some answers to what you would you were asking for, what can be expected in the rooms of the house. Again, we are talking about the Shelter for Help in Emergency and the upcoming Design House fundraiser of the second year. Here in our area, you can go down in the Crozet part of town, Mint Springs Road, find the house beginning May 7th, I guess, is the first day it's open to the public. $20 per person. Didn't I read that if you had more than five people mm-hmm. that it was a little less expensive? It is not handicap accessible, being an older farmhouse, but please take your time and your money down there and buy something that's in the room. I'm already excited because I need so much more furniture in the cabin. Lazarus needs something else to crawl up and put his dog hair all over. Back to one of the more serious topics. As we go back to the shelter and some discussions with Cardi Lomanac, who is the executive director for the Shelter for Help and Emergency here in the Charlottesville area. Safety planning. Because I found that in doing my homework to be something that everyone who has any little blemish or thought about the need for themselves or for a friend or family member, safety planning seemed to be a key part of that. Can you explain that, the definition, et cetera?
Absolutely. Anyone who calls the hotline or talks to one of the staff or volunteers or people that are affiliated with the shelter, everyone knows that we're going to do safety planning with someone. And in its simplest terms, that's just helping someone plan ahead to get safe. And that means something different for every individual that we're talking with. For some, it means hiding a set of keys to the car, squirreling away a little extra money so they can get away. It means making sure they have access to birth certificates or mortgage papers, any of the important papers that might get destroyed if you're not there to watch after them. For some, it might mean things that have sentimental value, the family Bible that's been passed down for years and years, or grandmother's set of china, or the favorite picture of your best friends from college. It could mean anything, but we try to help women by finding out where they are and where they want to go in trying to develop that safety plan with them. We do that for women, and we do that for children. When we're working with children, we make sure they can identify a trusted adult, make sure that they know how to dial 911, know how, know where not to be in the house, not to get in the middle of the fight, not to get trapped in a bathroom or a kitchen where there are places that they could be hurt, or if they fell, they could be hurt, or a weapon
could be used.
Why not
the kitchen or the bathroom? What's wrong with the kitchen or the bathroom?
In the kitchen, there are lots of different types of weapons that can be used. We do this for women and children. In a bathroom, if someone pushes you or shoves you, you have the possibility of falling and hitting any number of pieces of porcelain, usually, that could do some significant damage. So try to stay out of small spaces. Know people that you can get to. Know how to call for help. Know how to get away. Some people that come to us only come with the clothes on their backs. We've certainly had women that haven't been able to grab a pair of shoes before they came. So being able to do safety planning so that when they know that the violence in the home is escalating, they know how to get away. Might mean another set of clothes stashed away at a neighbor's house, something along those lines.
It is 11:55 here on the Wake Up Call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for being a supporter of WNRN. You can find Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street here in Charlottesville. They provide custom T-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics. Dial them up at 296-9746. Online, it's brgtshirts.com. All right, we are finishing up our discussion about the Shelter for Help in Emergency and their Design House fundraiser, which is something special happening for the month of May. We have Cardi Lomanac, who's the executive director for the shelter. We have Mark Humbertson on the Design House Committee making all this come to be, as well as three of the participating designers, Moyanne Harding, Amy Smith, Michelle Willis Adams. I want to finish up the hour talking about, again, where to find everything and how to participate. But, Cardi, I think it's important in terms of those who may need the shelter, because it seems from our discussion and from my minimal knowledge is that the people who need the shelter don't always make the decision to use it when needed. How does a family member, a coworker, a friend help this come to be before it's so much damage is done?
That's a good question. I think one of the ways that people can reach out and help is to tell the person that you're worried about that you're concerned for their safety. Let them know that you are aware of resources and know what those resources are. Know the Shelter for Help and Emergencies hotline number, which is 434-293-8509. Know that we accept collect calls. Know that not only does the woman have to call, can the woman call, but family and friends or coworkers can call just to talk with us to find out what they can do to help somebody else. So it's a number that's accessible 24 hours a day to whomever it might be that needs some support.
All right. We do need to finish up the hour. The shelter is the main recipient of our hour today because of the importance of having them, but the Design House is what's going on this month, and we have people here in the studio talking to us about the Design House, how it came to be, where to find it, and why it's important to them. And so I want to spend this last couple minutes with the three designers. Again, I'd like each of you to take you know, your 30 seconds and talk about why it's important to you. Moyanne, we'll start with you. I'll throw you in the spotlight first.
That's great. Yeah, it's, you know, you need to give back to the community, and this is a wonderful, wonderful cause, and it means a lot to me to do this. You know, my industry is about the home. That's what I do, and it's so important to me to give back so that, you know, people can have a safe place to go. Safety is so important, and it's just, it's everything that I do, and I just think it's so important to give back.
Michelle?
I'd echo everything Moyanne says and what Amy said earlier about counting our blessings. I think we have seen this has been a family and a community endeavor that's pulled together so many people for a worthwhile cause. When you look at the program, you're going to see hundreds of people have been involved in making this house possible. And so we're all proud to be part of that community.
All right, Amy?
I would echo the other two designers. I also think the sense of community has been incredible. Charlottesville is full of very creative people that are very supportive of one another, and I think that's a wonderful thing, and to be able to use that creativity to a better good is a great opportunity.
All right, Mark, I'm going to let you finish up here. Once again, where, when, and how people can visit the Design House.
Thanks, Rick. SevilleDesignHouse.com. Everything is located on that website. You can also email at SevilleDesignHouse@gmail.com. And the house opens this Saturday, May 7th, $20 admission. It's open for the following 3 weeks, and Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays from 10 to 4. It's closed on Tuesdays, but open Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 10 to 3. And it's open some late afternoons on Wednesday and Thursday. And it's there's some lecture series going on May 11th and 18th at 9:30 in the morning. And Gene Cooper's talking, and Benjamin Moore is going to talk about painting.
All right. Thank you so much for everyone for participating.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Next Sunday, Mother's Day. Will you say hi to your mother, your grandmother, or the person who's been most important in your life with that mother ability? All right, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.